Okay, everybody, here we are for some Bible study on the Lord's Prayer. We'll first take our quiz on Lord's Prayer terms, introduction through the seventh. As we go through the readings today, we'll periodically review our petitions and so forth. Okay? The introduction of the Lord's Prayer through the seventh petition. But first, let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit, teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All right. Let us take our quiz, shall we? Number one, to call upon God, asking for his help and his blessing according to the promises of his word. To call upon God on behalf of others, the church, those in authority, as he has instructed us to do. That's number one. Number two, lives that are sanctified or cleansed by the Word of God. Number three, the gifts that God provides to sustain us each day in life and faith, including food for the body and spirit. Number four, any word or will or desire which is against God and used by the devil or the world or our sinful flesh to entrap us and ensnare us in sin and unbelief. It's any word or will. So you can't trust God. You can't. No, you can't trust God. Amber, you can't. What do you call that? That's number four. Number five, I should think perhaps this. The reign of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the hearts and in the lives of his people. The reign of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of his people. Okay.
Could you do four and five again?
Number four is any, word or will or desire which is against God and used by the devil or the world or our flesh to trap us in sin and unbelief. You can't trust God. Why don't you go and punch your sister in the mouth? I'm giving you an illustration of what this term is. Go ahead. Why don't you scratch
Liam, because he makes you angry.
Okay, I'm giving you an illustration of what this term is. And then number four, oh no, that was number four. Which other one did you want?
Five.
Oh, the rain, not the kind that fell last night, but the rain having to do with the king. It was rain first before it was snow. So the reign of Christ as our King, our Lord, through the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of his people. Now, I'll tell you this. Let's see. Let me ask. I'm going to ask you a question, see if you can say. Number one is a general one term on the Lord's Prayer, which would cover all the petitions. Number two, which petition is the second term associated with? This will be a bonus point. Yeah. We haven't given the answers yet, so I want you to look at your sheet, your answers. Which petition is the second term associated with? You know, the introduction is Our Father who art in heaven. First petition is Hallowed be thy name. Second petition is Thy kingdom come. Third petition is Thy will be done. Fourth petition is, okay. Rachel is raising her.
I think it's the first.
The first? What do you think?
First.
Do you have a thought?
I think it's the first.
And you said?
I said first.
And why?
Because.
Hallowed be thy name, holy lives.
Holy lives has to do with the Word of God, lives that are sanctified or cleansed by the Word of God, led by the Word of God. Okay, good. Anyway, what's the first term, Sarah?
Prayer.
It's the general term for prayer. To call upon God according to the promises of His Word, and we'll see that today. And that's why your prayers are to be kind of structured the way they are, so that you're talking to God on the basis of His words to you and His promises to you. Number two, Michael, what is the term?
Holy lives.
And you are correct. First petition. Before you give me the term, number three, the gifts, wait a minute, the gifts that God gives, provides to sustain us each day in faith and in life, including food for the body and the spirit. Which petition is that one associated with, Amber?
Daily bread.
So which number?
The fourth?
The fifth?
No, so fourth. That's the fourth.
The fourth petition.
Give us this day
our daily bread, that we might learn to trust Him for this. Okay? So number three is daily bread. Number four, any word, will, desire that says you can't trust God, used by devil world in our flesh to try to trap us in sin and unbelief. Michael?
Temptation.
Yeah, so what petition?
Sixth
petition. Your brother blurted it out. Did you know, Rachel, which petition? Sarah, did you know? Did you know, Jake?
Yes.
Amber? Okay, and number five, Amber.
I didn't get that one.
Jake?
Number five, well, kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. So the word rain is not R-A-I-N, which is the wet stuff that falls from clouds, water vapor that condenses, but R-E-I-G-N, which is the governance of a king.
I don't know which petition it's from. It's from the second.
It's from the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come.
Thy Kingdom Come.
Okay. Okay, so let's see here. Pull my little grade book out there. Sarah, how many did you get right? And how many did you know the connection for? So that means you got 10. Isn't that fantastic? Okay, Michael, how about you?
Five.
And how many did you know the connection for?
Three.
So that would be 5 plus 3 is 8. All right. This is why I went over the Lord's Prayer like we did. And we'll review that as we go through the Bible reading today, you know, when we'll keep referring back to, because I want you to get a sense of, the first petition is about teaching God's word, living our lives according to God's word. Or the sixth petition is about temptation, being delivered from it. The seventh, the devil, evil. The fourth, daily bread and trusting God for it. Okay, anyway. Jake, how many did you get right?
Five.
And how many did you know the connection?
Two.
So five and two is seven. All right. Amber, how many did you get right?
I got right three.
How many did you know the connection to? You knew the connection to four, but you only got three, right? Okay. Well, that's seven, isn't it? Rachel.
Five.
And how many did you know the connection for?
Five.
All right. And Liam.
And five.
And how many did you know the connection for?
Five.
Oh.
And me, like I said,
yeah.
Boy,
this is the honor system here, okay? But I want you to keep making those connections. Like I said last week, the Lord's Prayer language, it's a text, a set of words, a prayer that is known by more Christians probably than any other single text. They are more apt to know the Lord's Prayer than the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer than the Creed, but yet they have little understanding.
You know, the Lord's Prayer when you're like three. Ten Commandments are more like...
And it really covers everything because... We pray our Father because we're the children of God through our baptism into Jesus. We pray, hallowed be thy name, because we want God's word as Christians to be taught to us and we want to lead our lives according to God's word. Thy kingdom come is about the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we were in New Testament, remember, and the preaching of the gospel was going forth, God's kingdom, his reign was being established. Jesus tells all of these kingdom parables, which are all about how God works to establish his gracious rule in our hearts by his word and spirit. God's will, third petition, is to keep us in his word and faith until we die. Give us this day our daily bread that we learn we can trust God to provide for us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need his forgiveness or we can't live with one another because of the problem with sin. God tempts no one, so he leads us out of temptation, so we're praying that he would guard and keep us from temptation so that we continue to trust in him and then finally deliver us from the evil one. Now, the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus actually gave the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, it actually ended with one word. Do you know what it was? When he gave the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. No, one word. When Jesus gave it, it ended with one word. This is easy. How do we end prayers? Michael? Amen. Which means yes. It means I believe what's spoken. This is true. And we can say that because if our prayers rest upon God's word, which they should, and the word he's given us to pray, then we know he hears. Now, the for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever is based on the way they would pray in the Old Testament. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory forever and ever. That was a part of prayers in the Old Testament church, and it became part of the Lord's Prayer, sometimes said. But strictly speaking, the Lord's prayers, our Father who art in heaven through but deliver us from evil. Amen. Okay? It's not wrong to say, for thine is the kingdom. Not by any means, because that's from the Bible too, and it's kind of part of the liturgy expression. Like our prayers, we end through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. That full termination in a lot of our prayers, that for thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen, is like that in the Old Testament church. All right, turn to Luke chapter 11.
What's on our prayer?
Yeah, I'm going to give your prayers back to you. We had our CCLE accreditation visit Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, ended Wednesday morning. It's been a busy time, but they're recommending that the academy be accredited. So when the Luke 11. So when the board for the consortium of confessional Lutheran schools meets, in May, they will take up the report and recommendation and either say yay or nay to us. But I think they'll say yes, since the team of three.
I thought there were four.
No, three people were here and they recommended us. Okay. Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer two times in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 6, it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And then here in Luke 11. So, let's see. I'm going to pull this out so that there can be other voices on here other than mine. So speak up. Sarah, would you read verse 1?
Now it came to pass as he went praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.
Yeah. Do you know how often Jesus prayed?
A lot.
Michael? Every day. He would get up in the morning before the break of day and go off by himself and pray to his Father in heaven. Every night he would pray. And then throughout the day there were prayers also. Isn't that amazing? Prayer is the voice of faith. So we trust our Lord, so we pray to our Heavenly Father. If we didn't trust him, we wouldn't pray. It's the same thing like with your parents, okay? So this question, they kept seeing him doing this. We have individual prayers, and then we have prayers that we do together in the church. They're called corporate, individual, corporate. They certainly would have done corporate prayer with Jesus, but they were intrigued by his private daily prayers. So teach us to pray. And then notice what it says. As John, what John are they talking about? Also taught his disciples. Rachel?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, who prepared the way. So he taught his disciples to pray. So they want Jesus to teach them to pray. And so one of our terms was disciple. Again, refers to a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus. Okay. Now, what I find very important to underscore here is Jesus gives a direct answer. In other words, Jesus, will it be a nice sunny day tomorrow in the 70s? Answer, no. Tomorrow will still be cold. That would be a direct answer, right?
Yeah, why do we have 70 and the sun would go to under 20?
No, because the Bible foretold that there would be shaking in the heavens, wild swings of temperature, earthquakes and famine and pestilence and disease, you know. Anyway, come back to what I'm doing here. So Jesus gives a direct answer. When you pray, say. Now, I'm going to let Michael read in a second, but look at verse 2. So he, Jesus, said to them, when you pray, say. Our Father in heaven, there's the introduction. Hallowed be your name, there's the first petition. Your kingdom come, second petition. Your will be done, third petition. And on earth as it is in heaven applies to hallowed be your name, on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, there's the fourth petition. Forgive us our sins, that's what trespasses means. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted because of sin to us. There's the fifth petition. Lead us not into temptation, the sixth petition, but deliver us from the evil one. And you can translate that in the Greek as either simply evil or evil one. And the devil is behind all evil in some way, shape, manner, or form. So there's the seventh petition. Okay? So here's my question, and I asked it last week. I'll ask it again today. Whose word is this first before it becomes our word?
God's.
God's word. Okay? It's called the Lord's Prayer because it was given by the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. So, we know then that to pray this prayer with faith in Christ and on the basis of these petitions, does God hear us, Rachel? Yeah, we can be certain of it. And so prayer rests on the foundation of God's word. What gives certainty to prayer is when we ask as God has invited us and according to his promises. Now think about your relationship with your parents. In word and deed, have your parents promised to protect you? Yes. So if you're in trouble and you need help, and you run to your father or you run to your mother for help and you ask them, that's like prayer between you as children and your earthly father or mother. Think of Christian prayer in the same way. Do you know when, at what time in my life, the discipline of private prayer was the strongest? Where very often. Do you know when, Amber?
Probably when something was going wrong.
What age? That's kind of what I was asking. At what age in my life was private prayer most frequent? Did I have the discipline of it most often?
When you were a father?
Okay, so I'm 60, I'll be 63 years old in a month. What?
Like right now.
Any other guesses? Oh. Rachel, what do you think? Yeah.
The normal average age around 12, 11.
Yeah, I could ask, like, what decade, you know? It's actually when I was a kid. My prayers were more regular as a kid, I'm ashamed to say, than now. So we get busy. We don't think about it. We're tired, so we fall asleep at night. We get up in the morning and we're rushing off to do stuff, and we can neglect prayer. But as a kid, now, who said when you were in trouble? Or when you were in, yeah. Now, that's why, as a kid, growing up with unhappiness in the home, that's why prayer was such a big part of my life. Okay? And those early days formed me wanting to be a pastor. You know? Mrs. Bender and I, together, are pretty good at praying every day. We use the congregation at prayer. So you're using God's word, the Psalms, and the catechism. And then the prayers that are there. I've got the Lutheran prayer book, which I'll show you as the remaining weeks of our Didache unfold. But prayer is the voice of faith. We can be certain that God hears our prayers when we pray on the basis of his promises. So that's why I went through last week introduction and every petition of the Lord's Prayer. And that's where the catechism is so helpful. You know, God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we lead holy lives according to it. God gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. That's comforting to know. Like if we wouldn't eat if we didn't pray every day, give us this day our daily bread, well, we'd starve to death because we don't pray as often as we ought. Now, go back to parents. How many of you feel like, I talk to my parents a lot, I ask them a lot of things, I ask them for their help and for guidance and for wisdom. Maybe some of you do more than others, but I bet some of you also feel like, maybe I rarely do that. The voice of faith, whether we're talking to our parents or talking to our Heavenly Father, comes from the trust of the heart that we have in them and in their words.
So I want you to see that as a normal thing, okay? And if you sincerely go to your parents in prayer, will they ever, I mean, to talk to them, will they ever say, I don't have time for you, get away from me?
Yes. In the nicest way possible.
Will they say that? Tom, do you think?
They do. You say it in the nicest way possible.
You sincerely need their help. You ask them respectfully, and they say, get away. I don't think so.
Get away.
Now,
maybe in a little bit.
Sometimes we can annoy our parents. How many of you have annoyed your parents? Yeah. Okay. Well, then the fault lay not with whether you trust them or not, but with the fact that you are irritating. That's a different matter. Okay. All right, come back down here. Now, what Jesus... So this is what I want you to understand. Prayer is the voice of faith. It rests on the promises of God's word. Jesus gives us God's... It's first his word before it becomes our prayer. All it contains every prayer that you could pray. They're like all found in there in some way, shape, manner, or form. Now, in verses 5 through 13, he gives us a little catechesis on prayer by telling this parable. I smacked my hand moving choir chairs earlier, and it's throbbing with pain. All right. So, Michael, would you resume with verse 5 there?
And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves?
Okay, you get it? Which of you shall have a friend? It's like your next-door neighbor, and you go to him at midnight, and you say, hey, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why, Rachel? Verse 6.
For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.
I have nothing to set before him. So why did you go to your neighbor, who's your friend, to ask for bread? Because you didn't have any bread, and you were visited by someone at night, and you had nothing to feed him. Read the next verse, Jake.
And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed.
Yeah. Do you get the picture here, Liam? I want everybody to have the picture clear in their mind. So he says, which of you, if you have a friend, your next-door neighbor, and you go to him and ask for loaves because you say, hey, another friend of mine has come. I don't have any food. And the guy that you went to says, the door's shut. It's late. I'm asleep in bed. My children are sleeping. Leave me alone. Okay. Hello? Could you give me some bread? You get the idea? That's what I want you to see. And the guy said, he has bread, but he doesn't want to get out of bed. Why, Liam? Can you turn around so you can look at the text? Why doesn't the guy want to get out of bed? Jake?
Because he's tired.
He's tired. He's like you said your parents were, right? Leave me alone. I'll deal with this tomorrow. Okay? So why does he not want to get out of bed? He wants to get some... Sleep, some shut-eye. Okay? Now look at what happens. Amber, can you read verse 8? Hang on. Verse 8. I say to you,
Though he will not rest.
Rise, not
rise,
rest.
And give to him this.
Because?
Because he is his friend, yet... Because of his
persistence. Do you know what persistence is? 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 Do you know what persistence is, Sarah? Michael, do you know what persistence is? Do you know what I'm doing right now? Okay? Yet because of his persistence, he gets out of bed. You get the, and says, fine, I will get you some bread. So you get, do you see the picture that Jesus is setting up? Hey, Harry, whatever his name is.
Are you encouraging us to keep doing it
I just want you to understand what the plot of Jesus' parable. Hey, Harry, whatever his name is. Someone came to visit me. I don't have any bread. Can you get out of bed? Can you get me some bread? Can I borrow some loaves of bread? Go away, George. Go away. I'm in bed. My children are in bed. Harry, come on, please. I have nothing. The guy's famished, and he's come late at night. And it's rude of me not to have food to put before him. Please help me. George, will you leave me alone? I'm in bed. Harry, please. I mean, this guy, he gets, fine. So why, finally, he gets out of bed, right? And he gives him the loaves. Why? What's motivating him? Jake?
Asleep.
Well, it's not just asleep. Yeah, for the guy to leave him alone. Michael said. Yeah, but it's a little bit more nuanced here, see? He wants to shut the guy up. So, here's the next question. Is the guy that gets out of bed in this parable, then, motivated out of love for his neighbor?
No.
No. He's rather motivated by wanting to get some shut-eye and to shut George up, who keeps banging on his door. Okay? If I give him the loaves, I'll at least be able to go back to bed. Get the idea? So, he is not motivated out of love for George, but out of a desire for his own peace and sleep. Right. Question. Is that how God is? In other words, is God motivated that way?
No.
We got to pray to him. We got to badger him. And then he'll finally say, fine, I'll give Jake what he asked for me because he's annoying me and I want to get some sleep. That's not how God is. So this is one of these parables that is like in the opposite, so to speak. In other words, if Harry got out of bed and gave George some food because Harry wanted to get some sleep, how much more will God hear your prayers and answer them on the basis of his word? Because how does he feel about you? He loves you. Do you get the idea? So this means that Christian prayer is not only based on the promises of God, which it is, but those promises express God's undying love for us. Do you follow what I'm saying? So just like you may take it for granted, and in that sense it's like being a Christian sometimes, but your parents love you, and they would die for you. Think about this. Your Lord loves you, and he did die for you. So he's not like Harry that wants to think only about himself. He's actually the opposite. But even Harry got out of bed and gave George the loaves, right? So if Harry did that, how much more will God hear our prayers? That's the point that Jesus is making. So I want you to understand that our prayer as Christians rests upon God's promises of love for us. Now that then, I believe, Liam, you're next. Verse 9, So now Jesus is going to amplify what I just said on the basis of this parable. Okay, verse 9.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you.
For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So what is being referred to by asking, seeking, and knocking? What's that, Jake?
So if you ask, it will automatically be opened.
Well, just what is it referring to? To ask, to seek, to knock. It's all referring to the same thing, Michael.
Prayer.
So if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, if you pray. Now, here's the caveat. If you pray, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, according to his word, he hears and answers. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this is not like, dear Lord, give me $1 million so I don't have to work. That's not, find me a promise in the Bible that says, I will give you $1 million so you don't have to work. That's what Mr. Adich is looking for right now. All right, $1 million in today. Give me $100 million. You think that would be enough?
Yeah,
you wouldn't have to work? All right. No, it's the asking, the seeking, and the knocking on the basis of his promises. And notice how ask, you will receive, seek, you will find, knock, it will be opened. Now, he gives two little examples next. And this is why I tie this into parents all the time. Rachel, would you read verse 11? Or Sarah, I mean, sorry.
If a son asks for bread and any father among you...
From any father.
From any father among you, will he give him a stone?
Sarah, what's the answer to that question?
No.
So,
Dad, do you call your dad Dad or Daddy?
Just Dad.
Dad, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. You're on a trip. Can we stop and get some food? And he says, sure. Then he stops on the side of the road, and he gets a handful of gravel from the shoulder, and he says, here, eat this. Would he do that? No, he wouldn't. So you see, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Answer, yeah. How many times has your father given you a stone to eat, Jake? Don't lie. Don't lie. Okay? Now, Sarah is still reading. She's in the middle of verse 11. Go ahead.
Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?
Yeah, a serpent is a poisonous snake. Has your father ever given you, you know, you asked for a hamburger and he gave you a live poisonous snake? Said, eat this. He never did that?
I got to try that.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. All right. Michael, verse 13.
Or, you mean 12?
12, yeah.
Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
Yeah, egg, good protein. Scorpions. Scorpions, when they get big, they can be deadly.
Good protein.
my friend Patrick in Africa, a scorpion this big. And it was outside the compound of the seminary there, and he took a machete to it. Okay, but they also, not only are they deadly, do you know what they also do? They move fast. Yes, Liam.
My aunt had to do a similar thing with a desert straw. It was this big, had to shoot it with an AK-47.
An AK-47, yeah. So what? Of course the father will give you an egg rather... it will give you the fish rather than the serpent. Okay? He'll give you the egg rather than the scorpion. Okay? So, Rachel, would you... The concluding verse here is number 13. And notice how Jesus is going to make a point of comparison. Go ahead.
If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more... will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Aha. So, all of our parents, though they love us and though they will give us these good things like bread and fish and egg, they're still sinners, aren't they? So, if they know how to give you good things that are beneficial for you, though they are sinners... Again, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good things? You see how that connects to the parable again. If even the guy was willing to get out of bed to give bread to his midnight caller, yeah, to shut him up, but he still did it. He didn't take his AK-47 and shoot the guy from the upper window, you know. He was still willing to do it. So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven? That's the point of comparison. But notice, which good gift does Jesus single out in verse 13? Look at the text of verse 13. Which good gift does he single out? Jake?
Is it good?
Well, if you, being evil... know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give, Michael? The Holy Spirit. Now remember when we were studying the Creed and the third article, how the Holy Spirit, what is his work?
in our lives. Rachel?
He preaches God's word
to call us to what?
Faith.
To faith in Christ. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, under the second petition, thy kingdom come, is that we believe and we're preserved in the faith and hope that we have in Christ. So here Jesus tells us then that the most important things for which we pray when we're in trouble, when we're struggling with sin, difficulties in life, relationships with others, we're out of work, we're out of a job, we're sick. The most important thing we need is the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we don't lose faith, that we trust in our Heavenly Father for what we need. Okay? So this is a great section of Scripture because Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. He teaches it to us. And then by this parable, and then these promises afterwards, he teaches us the true nature of prayer. It rests upon God's promises of love in his word. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. That asking, knocking, is all based upon God's promises to us. Okay? Now with that, let's go to Matthew. This is Luke, so Matthew is in front of this. Mark is directly in front of this. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Okay. Now, we had this as the gospel reading last Sunday. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So from Galilee to Tyre and Sidon, which is, it's along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea up here. Okay, there's Tyre and Sidon. Here's Galilee down there. So, okay. So he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. So if she's a woman of Canaan, is she a Jew or is she a Gentile? Amber?
Gentile.
She's a Gentile. Okay. And cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. So Liam, verse 22, what she says, could you call that a prayer?
And behold, O woman.
No. I'm asking you a question. She cried out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Can you call that a prayer?
I guess so.
I guess so. I think I want a more confident. If it is a prayer, why do you say it? Sarah, you think it's a prayer?
Yes, because she's asking for his help.
She's asking for his help? Does it sound like she believes in him?
Yeah.
Is she asking for help on the basis of, you know, right things? I mean, like, has Jesus promised to deliver people from the devil, from mm-hmm. Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's saying, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Do we know, on the basis of this prayer, that she trusts in him as the Messiah, as the Savior?
Yes.
What does she say that lets us know that? You're correct. How does she
calls him Lord.
She calls him Lord and Son of David, which is the Messiah would be the Son of David, the true King and Savior of his people. Okay? But how does she have a right to ask Jesus for anything if she's a Gentile? What gives her that right? Michael?
She believes in him.
On the basis of the gospel. Because the gospel, the good news of salvation, is it just for the Jews?
No, it's for all people, right. So do you remember the promise that God made to Abraham in the Old Testament? I'll start it, and you see who can finish it. In you, Abraham, and in your seed, referring to the coming Messiah, in you, Abraham, and in your seed, all
the nations will be blessed.
The nations of the earth would be blessed. So the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are the fathers of Israel, to them God made a promise of salvation for all people. So we can confidently say that this Canaanite woman, though she's a Gentile, she believes in Jesus, she trusts in him, she prays on the basis of the gospel, that he's the Savior of all, and she trusts in the right things, that he came to save from Satan and from evil. Okay. With that established, look at what happens next. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Silence. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. So, on the basis of this, does it seem as if Jesus is for her or against her? Jake? It seems that way, doesn't it?
He's not. He's just thinking.
He's not. You are right. Were you listening to the sermon?
I was.
No, I just can't assume that.
Okay, you just assumed that. So you weren't listening to the sermon last Sunday?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You weren't here. That's right. Joe was here in the morning, though. Yeah, okay.
I was.
And your mother was here. Okay. Let's pause on this verse. At first he's silent, then the disciples, this woman's annoying us. They sound like the guy in bed who doesn't want to get out and give bread, right? Isn't it true that sometimes Christians have experiences in their lives that make them think God doesn't love us?
Yes.
God is not helping us. My prayers go unanswered. Absolutely. Okay? So, in our life of prayer and in our lives as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, should we rely upon our experiences for comfort or certainty that we belong to Christ, or should we rely upon His promises?
His promises.
His promises only. Because experiences can really have loud voices. I mean, if you lived in Ukraine, I was just listening to this yesterday, late afternoon, the pastor who's a bishop of the Lutheran Church in Ukraine talked about the beginning of the war, talked about Russians slaughtering civilians in certain villages and towns, talked about not having food and taking people in who were refugees from the war. You know, there's times as if you say, there's no hope, everything is against us. So if you relied upon your experience, you might despair and commit suicide. But they not only brought the comfort of God's word, but they also, in acts of mercy, provided food, shoes, clothing, blankets, shelter, and so forth. It's an example of where faith was active in providing works of mercy to support these poor refugees. Okay? So sometimes in our life, it seems as everything is against us. That's why relying upon the promises of God's word is the only ground of certainty, and that's what prayer always is doing. Okay, now come back to here, verse 24. Look at this. But he, Jesus, answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, didn't we just quote the promise that God made to the patriarchs? In Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now Jesus said, he was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It seems as if he is contradicting the promise of the gospel, that he is the Savior of all people. Why does he do that? Somebody raise their hand so I can put the microphone to you. Amber, why do you think he does that?
To make them repent.
To make them repent. Do you think this woman is impenitent?
No.
I don't think she's impenitent. Jake?
Maybe to confuse them.
Maybe to confuse them. I don't think to confuse them. Any other thoughts? Sarah?
Test her faith.
To test her faith. Now, when God tests us, is it because he doesn't know what our faith is, Sarah?
No.
No, he knows. He knows what our faith is. When he puts us to the test, he actually reveals our faith to others. And also, under adversity and hardship, that's when faith shines the brightest. It's like, have you ever had a campfire? The coals, they get covered with ash. It might look as if the fire is out, but not really. But if you blow on it or fan the coals, the embers start glowing more brightly. That's the way it is with true faith created by God's word when there's the cross, suffering, adversity. Jesus treats this woman this way to put her to the test, as Sarah said, to reveal the nature of her faith to us so that we learn something from her faith. He knows her faith. Your parents might do something like this. You kind of put on a sort of a temper tantrum. Not that you would do that at your ages now, but like you used to do when you're younger. Oh, you don't love me. If you really loved me, you would blah, 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 whatever. And they might say something, you're right, I don't love you at all. We wish we never had you. Is that true? No. But it's intended to wake you up to a reality that maybe you forgot about, their care and their love. Okay, so Jesus is putting this woman to the test. Notice what then she says. Verse 25. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Is that a proper prayer? Yes, it is. Pretty brief, isn't it? Lord, help me. Three words in English. It's got an address, Lord, and a petition. Help me. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes our prayers need to be just that short. But he answered and said, here's another negative experience. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Who is Jesus calling the children or referring to as the children? Amber?
The faithful ones.
The children of?
The children of
Israel. Yeah, right. Who is he calling a little dog? Amber?
The woman.
The Canaanite woman. Can you imagine? I'm not going to help you, Rachel. You're nothing but a dog. That would sound pretty insulting, wouldn't it? Parents would get mad at me if I called you that. But think about it. We say, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I deserve temporal and eternal punishment for my sins. Be better off being a little dog rather than getting temporal and eternal punishment. But here again, it's a test. Not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And look at how she replies. True, Lord. Yes, Lord. I agree with you. I'm a Gentile and I'm a little dog. Does she or do any of us deserve God's love,
no,
care, protection, salvation? No. So she says, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So you see how this negative treatment, and she's gotten a lot of it, reveals the true nature of faith and the true nature, therefore, of Christian prayer that claims the promises of God's word. And so look at how it concludes. 28. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Did this woman trust in herself? Not at all. Wyatt and Andrew, those of you listening, they're shaking their heads, no. She did not trust in herself. Where was her faith? In him and in him alone. So anytime Jesus says this, great is your faith, he's referring to the object of a person's faith, which is him. So it is as if he were saying, oh woman, great is your Jesus, great is your Savior. Okay? Because she trusted only in him. And if she let go of him and the promises of the gospel for deliverance from sin, death, and the devil's power, she'd be lost and so would her daughter. Okay? So it's a great example of when we had the Luke 11, we saw Jesus giving us prayer, giving us the promises in the Lord's Prayer. He tells that parable how God is so different than that friend at midnight. He answers our prayer because he loves us. And now we see here, it looks like maybe he doesn't love, but he actually does. And we see the true nature of faith as a Christian, which is expressed in prayer. So when we talk about our faith in Jesus and believing in Jesus and the Holy Spirit calls us to faith, that faith is then expressed in the Christian life of prayer. Okay. If you will now then go to... in your mind, the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is, for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I explained to you at the beginning of class that that is part of a... Well, it comes from liturgical prayers in the Old Testament times. And at the dedication of the temple by Solomon. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the victory and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
So that was taken over. That became part of all prayer, or not all, but many prayers in the Old Testament church, giving all honor and glory to God. And so it's fitting to have it at the end of the Lord's Prayer. But the word I want to focus on is amen. Because the catechism asks the question, what is meant by the word amen? Amber?
Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Okay. What does this mean? It means that these petitions, when we say amen, it means that these petitions of the Lord's Prayer are pleasing to our Father in heaven. Why? He himself has commanded us to pray in this way. Why? Because he himself has promised to hear us. Therefore, amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. So, let me say it a different way. Did God say, when you pray, say, forgive us our trespasses, because he doesn't intend to forgive your trespasses? No, of course not. Or did God say, when you pray, say, lead us not into temptation, because he wants you to be tempted and to turn away from him?
No.
No, of course not. Or when God said, when you pray, say, deliver us from evil, did he give you that petition because he does not want you to be delivered from Satan, but he wants you to remain in Satan's kingdom?
No.
No. Do you get the idea? This is where every petition is the Lord's Prayer. So he's commanded us to pray in this way. He's promised to hear us. So, amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. Do we always pray with confidence?
No.
Do we always pray as much as we should?
No.
Are we always eager to pray?
No.
No. So all of those things are things that we confess. Forgive us our sins. Strengthen our faith. Teach us to call upon you. Okay? Now what I'd like you to do for next time is we'll do one more quiz on the Lord's Prayer terms. This time, include those canticles through to the conclusion The Gloria Patri is glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The Benedictus is the song of Zechariah. That's a prayer. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He's visited and redeemed his people. The Magnificat, the song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. The Nunc Dimittis, the song of Simeon. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. We use it quite often at the end of the Lord's Supper. The Venite, if you come to daily chapel, it's from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. And then the Te Deum Laudamus, we praise you, O God. Especially those canticles like the Nunc Dimittis, the Benedictus, the Magnificat. Yeah, so all the terms under the Lord's Prayer on page 316, 317, 318, and 319. And look to identify who sang this, like Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis, what is it about? He's ready to die in peace. Who sang this, like the Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord, that's Mary, etc. So look for that. And all of the Psalms in the Bible are prayers. All of those canticles, like the ones we just mentioned, are prayers. Okay? And the word Amen is that word of faith which declares, I believe that word which was prayed, or I believe that word which was preached or spoken. Let it be done as God has promised. So, that's why when I conclude a sermon, I'll say, in the name of Jesus, Amen. Or, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Amen. And that's for you to say, and you should say it with a full-throated voice.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because the devil hates it when we to hear God's word. That's why we should sing loudly and speak the liturgy loudly and say Amen to the absolution and the invocation and the prayers, you know, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. He's the one God, not devil, world, or flesh, okay? So all of that is an aspect of prayer, too. When we recite the catechism and learn it by heart and can actually make use of it in our prayers, Heavenly Father, give me the daily bread that you've promised. Teach me to trust in you and to receive it with thanksgiving. So you can use the language of the catechism in your prayer. So, next week, choose another part of the Lord's Prayer to write a prayer for that you didn't this time, okay? Just one more prayer from one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Do you understand? Most of you turned in a prayer today on the Lord's Prayer. Do another one on the Lord's Prayer. Whichever one you want, just don't repeat the one you did, okay? And then we will start baptism next week, okay? Jake, you look confused.
We were supposed to do a prayer on one of the petitions.
Yeah.
But I thought that was this week.
Well, it is this week too, okay? Everybody else did. Just do one for next week, all right? All will be well. All right? Any other questions? And work on your certificates, those of you who do not yet have. Okay? Let us stand for prayer. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, think about all of the things that we said. The introduction, we're the children of God. The first petition, God's word be taught. Second petition, his kingdom, the gift of faith, come. Third petition, that his will against devil, world, and flesh to keep us in his word and faith would be done. Okay? Think about those images, those concepts as you're praying it. And I'm going to use the gestures for the Lord's Prayer because I think they're helpful to involve my body with bowing in reverence to the Lord, hands open for his blessing, hands folded for contentment, hands shaped like this, like you're a beggar for daily bread, hands against the chest, you're not there fighting. You've set aside your fists in forgiveness, okay? So I do that too, all right? Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, now before you go, did you see how I did? It really helps my mind. I do it. It's not just for kindergartners anymore. It's helpful for us. Our Father who art in heaven, folded hands, first time. It's like three times you fold your hands, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, bowing for hallowed be thy name, his name is holy. Thy kingdom come, arms outstretched to receive the kingdom of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit for faith. Thy will be done, hands folded second time, on earth as it is in heaven. Like a beggar, give us this day our daily bread. Hands against the chest, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're not fighting. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the sign of the cross, which is how we're delivered from temptation and evil. Then the third time, hands folded, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's a very handy way to do it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm sorry those listening on the don't have video, but I'm showing the hand gestures. Okay, so you can use that. I use it. Even 62 years old, I use it. Crazy. Okay, one more quiz on the Lord's Prayer, all terms.